Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And good afternoon to you, Southern California. Welcome to the Swing Day edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Today we have a very different kind of topic for you. Very astrological and extremely metaphysical. I got the dropsies today. Today's topic is called How We Metaphysically Manifest and Create the Natal Effect Before Birth. So we're going to talk about what I feel is the destiny of the astrological profile prior to birth and some of the karmic ingredients that are involved in creating this astrological effect. So I think it's a very interesting topic, especially for those of you who are wondering how we get our charts or why we choose our charts or why they suddenly seem to be developed. Now let's talk about this topic here, how to manifest your chart. What goes on is the question. Like people say, Farley, is it an accident that we have our chart? Why do we have our chart? What does the chart mean? What is the chart about? Well, it all has to do with karmic review. That's what it is. When a person dies, if they make the proper choice to go into the light, existence in this universe and existence in any dimension, we are always confronted with basic choices, simple choices. Usually the choices are light versus dark. It's very simple. Like you die, you see a hole that's dark, you see a hole that's light. If you stand there and don't go into either one, then you end up in limbo, of course. But I prefer always to go into the light. And rumor has it, it's not a good idea to hesitate. The best thing to do is jump into the light, walk in, run in, don't wait, because rumor also has it, it doesn't last for long. The light, basically, is a reflection of the glow that comes from higher levels of consciousness. And it is the window to those levels which we call the Akashic stream of consciousness, at which point when you plug in after death, you go through this life review, and you plug into your eternal life existence review in the Akashic stream when you come to grips with current level of karmic development. Now, the interesting point about life and death and rebirth, reincarnation and karmic qualification is that because we are all sparks of God, and because we have the I Am force inside of us, we ourselves subject ourselves to our own personal judgment. No one makes the choice for us whether to evolve beyond the third dimension or to come back, because there's so much grace and humility at higher levels of awareness that it's like an obvious choice. Like your soul knows whether there is unfinished business on earth. That's clear and simple. If there is no unfinished business on earth, if there is nothing pulling you here, if there's nothing holding you here, like, if you feel there's an individual down here that you call a soulmate, then obviously that's an individual soul that you need to be born next to and experience and manifest karmic growth with that person. So if you want to know what a soulmate is, it's somebody that you have chosen to come back to third dimensional existence for to experience growth. Now, if you reach a point in your evolution, in my opinion, where you are bonded to all people as one, you recognize your God self, and at that point, you realize that not only all people are not only just your soulmate, but they're also you. This is the same being. Then obviously, you're not being pulled back here for any personal reasons. There are other reasons also. There is abuse that we do down on Earth. We abuse ourselves. We don't know how to like ourselves. We abuse assets, finances, things of beauty. We abuse mental processes of ourselves and other. We don't know how to respect or earn or secure ourselves. Establish roots. We lack creativity or we're frustrated in that area. We have unfinished business with people we have been related to, family members, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children. We really don't know how to respect our bodies as temple, so there's a health debt there. We have a problem in being able to work well with people, harmonize with people. We can develop karma experiences in any kind of a relationship, whether it's love, our friendship, partnership, marriage. There may be a debt there. We could abuse this dimension sexually by loving, leaving, rejecting people, hurting them in that way. We could abuse people's freedom. We could shackle them or shackle ourselves. We may have karmic debt in career, with friends, concerning directions. Maybe we manipulated other people's lives. We might have been an enemy or somehow violent or somehow a criminal in this dimension. But when the body dies, the soul goes into review, considering it does go into the light. It plugs into the Akashic stream, and it becomes aware whether there was a growth during this life cycle or whether there was a setback. And a lot of times people believe, especially the Hare Krishnas, that this review is instant. It happens in a flash. And that means that some people believe that it happens so quick that the entire process of karmic review and decision choice to either go beyond Earth into higher levels of existence that are non-material or adhere to the pull back to Earth, in which case the astrological entry is prepared, the karmic qualification is aligned according to the alignment of the planets, so that when the baby is born and the first breath is taken, optimum karmic energy will be injected into that child so they can live the lesson required to qualify for highest karmic absolution. You understand? In other words, it is not an accident, it is not a mistake that we are born with certain Saturn factors, certain Neptune factors, certain Uranus factors, or Pluto factors, because these are generational effects. In other words, we qualify to be born in a certain Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, and Jupiter generation, because these planets move through the signs very slowly. So if you want to catch Jupiter and Taurus, if you're a baby that's meant to have what we call beneficial dharma concerning money and finance, which is what Jupiter and Taurus means, then you'll be born sometime this year after March 6th. And also, many of these children being born now already have the generational effect of Saturn in Capricorn. So their major karma in life will be connected with a Capricorn factor, which means career, success, practicality, logic, attitude, motivation, and life lesson, all being focused on not suffering, on not taking things too personal, but being able to rebound and bounce back. There's now a Uranus factor. See, a Uranus generation in Capricorn also means that a lot of people are going to be born during this generation with brilliance concerning logic and practicality and common sense. With the planet of brilliance, Uranus, in the sign of Capricorn. See how it works? So the generational planets, see, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, they help people qualify for long periods of time that would offer karma qualification for birth. The personality of the person being born and the personal karmic development of that individual is shaped due to the faster-moving planets. Life force and basic health is decided by location of Mars by sign and house, and also male factor, men factor, karma with men. The love factor, the love vibration, what the person values, the beauty, love karma, money karma, and the female factor would be decided on the placement of the planet Venus. We start getting into the child's way of thinking. Communication karma, the psychological karma, is focused on the planet Mercury. Then we zero in on karma with the mother, karma with emotions, karma with roots and home, with the moon. We're getting closer and closer to the personality of the individual. When we come down from Pluto down to moon, sun, and rising sign, see, beyond Pluto is the oneness of God. When we approach Earth from Pluto to Earth, you notice the generations are larger and larger and larger. Like in a 12 to 16 year Pluto period, as long as Pluto takes to stay in Scorpio, you'll have hundreds of millions of children born with Pluto in Scorpio. See how it works? And then Uranus and Neptune, well, Neptune will stay in a sign for 12 years, so hundreds of millions of children will have the same Neptune sign. And then a lot less children will have the same Uranus vibration, because Uranus will stay in a sign for 7 years. And then a lot less will have a Saturn vibration, because Saturn will stay in a sign for 2.5 years. So the karma is reduced by a 2.5 year period of qualification. And then Jupiter stays in a sign for a year or less. So we're getting closer to the personality of the baby now. And then Mars stays in a sign for a couple of months, 2 to 6 months. Venus and Mercury stay in a sign for less than a month. The moon stays in a sign for 2.5 days. We're really getting personal. And a rising sign, the sign in the eastern horizon, which is the personality of the baby, the imprint, the karmic imprint of the I am point, the self point of the child, only stays on the eastern horizon for 2 hours. And that rising degree will change every 4 minutes. So see, the closer we get to the moment of birth, the time of birth, and the place of birth, the more exact we find rising, sun, moon, and all the planets placed in signs and houses to understand the baby's karma, the choice the baby has made to be born at this time, manifest the birth, and take the first breath to absorb and be injected by this astrological effect in every one of their cells in this dimension and also affecting the multidimensional self, and hence why the astrology chart is so significant, because it explains to us the current path of the soul, the current karmic state, karmic lessons that are to be learned, and the current vehicle that the body is charged by that the baby will inhabit. Hope that is clear. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, heard weekdays at 12 noon on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And we're here weekdays at 12 noon for your enjoyment, and we're getting ready to go to the phones. It's fun to get assistance from my guide when I do the show, because I can explain these metaphysical processes to you a lot clearer. I have one of our winners in the studio watching me, and you'll notice I don't have any format or outline sitting in front of me. But it's interesting how it does come out. And I listen to it after the show and I go, darn, this is great stuff. The wonderful thing about life on Earth in the third dimension and making your own astrology effect before you're born, really the power of God is revealed here. Because all we are is God, and all we have is this creative force, this power of God, with as far as what we believe to be will be, what we think will be, what we say will be. So we become just what we want to become. And what we need to become. You know, remember that saying, you can't always get what you want, but somehow you always get just what you need. I think that's what life on Earth is all about. You are born to become exactly what you need. And even though all of our charts are different, and all of our karma seems to be different, in many ways, it's the same. Because God learns its lesson in the very same way over and over again. When you're human, what's your karma? It's with obsession, desire, pull to the third dimension, making the material world important. What's your karma? Power, money, competition, relationships, love, lust, the quest for abating loneliness. You know, we all basically have the same problem. Of course, you could focus if you want to be intricate. If you want to get picky, you can focus on some people having more of an accent maybe on career karma or more of an accent on health karma or money karma. Why not find your obsession? That's what the astrology chart is all about. The astrology chart allows you to focus. Leos have karma with ego. Ask any Leo. And they're the loudmouths. They're the ones in the theaters that are laughing so loud. People are going, shut up, buddy. And the guy's going, hey, back off. I'm a Leo guy. The guy's going, well, I'm a Pisces, so shut up. No. But anyway, it is wonderful. And it is older than anything on this planet as far as a science or as far as a religion or anything goes. Astrology has been here long before any of that. Because people, before they knew how to read or write or even talk, they didn't have much to do, so they looked at the stars, and they watched the moon glow, and they watched it fade, and they watched the sun glow, and they watched it fade, and they watched these lights moving, and they noticed which ones didn't move. And the moving lights gained more importance than the ones that didn't move. So astrology was something that was very obvious and very logical, and the movement of these lights seemed to affect the human behavior, so we developed a magnetic explanation about it, and that's what astrology is all about. The magnetic explanation of how this universe, how this dimension affects us. If you're wondering why the third dimension looks the way it is, well, just imagine a magnificent cosmic engine that people and souls use to incarnate to. You can imagine being born in a different part of the galaxy, or maybe being born in another galaxy. See, each galaxy and each planetary system and each solar system has a different astrological effect. That's right. The vibration's different. So not everybody's going to look like people. There might not be dogs and cats all over the universe or parakeets either. You know, some people may have these deep black eyes. They may be yellow skinned or look like praying mantises. They don't have Leo, Scorpio, Virgo. They have like Kayo, Baka, Zion. What's your sign? I'm Pochi rising on Wakasa in the moon and, you know, with this and that. So one of my dreams is to probably be taken up by an alien race, right? A nice one, a good one, not these cattle mutilators, right? But somebody that would take me to their star system, introduce me to their astrologer, and hey, let's exchange information here. I want to know what's going on. Let's see, being incarnated on Earth, you know, is one vehicle of manifestation. But if you were incarnated in another part of the galaxy or in a different galaxy, there'd be another astrological vehicle of manifestation. That's why their karma would be a lot different than ours. It's a different lifestyle completely. It's fascinating. So that's why I would be surprised to find human beings in other parts of the universe. That's what they're going, you don't have Mars, Venus, or Jupiter in your natal chart. What if somebody was born on Mars, right? Then they'd be a Martian, and they'd have Earth in their natal chart. Did you ever think about that? Then Earth would gain the significance different than what Mars would. See, Mars plays a certain significance in our natal chart, but if you were a Martian, then you wouldn't have a Martian effect because you'd live on Mars, right? and Earth would then gain the new significance. Can you imagine being a Martian with Pisces rising and Earth in Scorpio? Oh, baby, that might be a wild weekend night then. Jim Dulcey's laughing. You listen to my show, I know. But anyway, we're going to go to the phones now. And I hope you understood this topic. It was called How to Manifest Your Natal Chart from Beyond This Dimension. Let's go to Rebecca. She called so early. What a patient lady. July 13th, 1960, Scorpio rising, and I hope you become a member, Rebecca.
I have. Hi, Farley.
Hi.
I think I'm from that planet you were just talking about.
You mean you come from Guzikagazaba?
That's my rising.
I have Gabuza rising, and I have Moon in Kajuzo. Actually, I have three moons. I have one moon in Kajuzo, the other moon's in Pazabo, and the other moon's in Hakowa. It's funny because Saturn and Jupiter have so many moons. You think they have like a minor emotional problem if you're born on Saturn? It's like, I'm having a full moon in one side and a partial moon in the other. I don't know what's going on. It's a pretty heavy topic, I guess.
I love your show. It always makes me feel so good when I listen to it, because I always get just like a better grip on things for the day.
Thank you.
I listen every day. Anyways, I just was wondering if I could get like an overall forecast, and if you have any specific information I should know in the career department. I'm really going through some changes, some questions right now about what I should be doing or what I want to be doing or what makes me happy. Which
this could have been one hell of a week for you for finances. Did you spend the farm this week? You went out there and indulged. You got one of those stereo TVs, didn't you?
I spent it all, actually.
I'm telling you.
Did.
With Saturn getting ready to leave your second house, what degree is that Scorpio rising?
I believe it's 6 Scorpio 22 retrograde.
Okay, so Saturn will finally leave your financial house in about 10 months.
Oh, yeah.
And that will take some of the pressure off. But we got to work on this obsession for you to be an impulsive shopper here.
I know.
Yeah, and you know, I kind of think you'll probably marry a rich man, so you won't have to worry as much about career, and that's all around the corner for you within a year or two.
In a year or two?
Yeah.
Huh.
But you know, don't push it. Don't get obsessed with it. Just remember Farley said it, so when he shows up, it's like, is this the one? But overall, you know, it looks like you're going to be making a lot of money in the coming decade. You must be patient with it, not obsessed with it, because down deep, you're really a philosopher, and we know it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Farley.
Bye. Bye-bye. Let's go to a general comment on line two. Hello, Vicki.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
I called because I want to know, if a person is born with a whole lot of afflictions in their chart, when do they know they've gone through all this karma?
When do they know they've gone through all the karma if they have a lot of squares and oppositions?
Yeah.
When they learn to let go?
Let go completely or
mm-hmm.
Let
go of everything.
Let go in surrendering to God or...
Well, you see, squares and oppositions are either like property or assets. They're like money. They're obsessions. When you come into this dimension with squares and oppositions, what we're going to talk about in today's topic, so this is a great question because it fits right in, is that we are pulled to this dimension because we're not done. We're not finished. In other words, there's something in the material world that has attracted our attention. And the squares and oppositions basically reveal to us, squares reveal our own selfishness.
Uh-huh.
And oppositions reveal us manifesting selfish people in our lives.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So when you have, there's no such thing as a chart that is truly afflicted, because the purpose to life, in my opinion, is to rise up to spiritual heights of power and overcome materialistic desires. So people that have heavily afflicted charts must learn to let go of anything in this dimension and retain a spiritual priority, which is usually very difficult to ask people to do that.
Okay, I've been listening to your shows and following the whole logic behind this. I'm an alcoholic who is sober. I've been on the program of Alcoholics Anonymous for 8 years now, and following a spiritual path has been the main thing. And the thing that's interesting to me is, see, I come in contact with a lot of people, of course, through my work in AA, who are obviously going through learning experiences, whatever you want to call it. It hurts. And I find that I'm constantly being personally having to relearn the same lessons over and over and over again on a different level, on a
mm-hmm.
higher level. And I'm curious looking at my chart, well, that, you know, how do you get rid of these things? How the heck do you get rid of these things?
I think the problem is that people take the dimension and everything in it way too personal.
Mm-hmm.
And if things don't go right, or if you don't get what you want, or if you have failure, or if you lose, then you don't know what to do, so you hurt yourself. It's like the old Indian ritual when someone died. During the funeral, they'd take a knife and they'd cut off a finger or they'd slash their stomach or something and they'd bleed for a while, and that way they'd feel better, supposedly.
Good.
And what we do is we do that in modern terms. We go out and get smashed, destroy the liver and the spleen, the kidneys. It's internal damage.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. David is on line 3, a double Leo member. Yo, Dave.
Hi, Farley. How are you?
Fine. How many moons do you have?
I feel like I have at least 10 most of the time.
Isn't that funny? Somebody born on Saturn. God, talk about lunar problems, you know. Women might have PMS about 5-6 times a month. I'd be going berserk here.
I used to be upset because you always indicated that I was insensitive, and I used to practically cry when I heard that because I don't have any water except in Cancer, and it's in the 12th, you know, in Saturn, and you said that didn't really count. But then you did a show on Neptune, and I saw that my Neptune was in really good shape, so I guess that's why I am sensitive.
Yeah, no problem.
Also, Father, I wanted to tell you that your ascendant at 20 degrees Libra exactly conjuncts my Jupiter in my third house.
Oh, very good. That's a very hard degree to get.
Thanks. That's why I like listening to you.
There you go. We have a bond.
Good. Farley, I'd just like a general scan, please.
Well, your relationships might have really hit the fan last year, huh?
It was a very difficult year with relationship, yes.
Did you feel lonely?
I did. I felt disconnected all the time, you know. I think it's just easing off a little bit right now.
Yeah, the question was, okay, what's going to happen next, God? What are you going to do to me next? I'm getting beat up here a lot. Your relationships are happening here, guy.
Good.
A commitment looks like it's being prepared for you. And cut the soap opera stuff, too. You know what I mean by that?
You mean setting myself up for drama?
Yeah. Try to be a little bit arm's length, casual. Instead of being a Leo with Venus and Mars in Virgo, pretend like you're a Sag with Venus and Mars in, say, maybe a Leo with Venus and Mars in Sag.
Lighten up.
Yeah, you know, like really cool it. Because the intensity here, whenever people have Virgo planets, they pick, they analyze, they debate, they like to talk, they like to get deep, and sometimes you can freak a partner out with that. They can look at you and like, God, this guy's a weirdo. Give us a break. Romance is supposed to be like a river.
Yeah.
And when it becomes like a waterfall or the rapids, that's when you have a problem.
Seems like everything I say is wrong.
And cut out talking so much about the relationship. Give it a break, you know? Leave the relationship alone.
Oh, what good advice.
What you want to do is learn the Hare Krishna mantra. And every time you want to talk about the relationship, go up to your mate and say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Look at you. You are weird, aren't you? But at least they'll still love you, you know? I can't stand people that talk about the relationship. The relationship to me is very valuable and private, and it's like a tree that should be left alone, you know?
Okay.
Take care of yourself, kid.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm calling you, kid. You're 2 years older than me. Okay, let's go to Marion on line number 6. A question here about her Sagittarius son. Hi, Marion.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine. I'm Scorpio, and my son is December the 5th, and gosh, we have a lot of problems. And
December 5th, 65?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
He's an alcoholic.
Already?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. He's a little older than I thought he was.
Yeah.
65, 75. Yeah, he's 23 years old.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys that won't listen to anybody.
You got it.
Well, you know what? He's got the classic Capricorn, Saturn in Pisces, Venus and Mars in Capricorn is the cast iron stomach, and Saturn in Pisces is the alcoholism, and it never fails, failure syndrome, self-destruct. The merest glimpse of not succeeding or any failure, and this guy gets smashed.
Right.
And he's subject to entity interference and possession and altered personality and even mild possession or even more with a chart like this, so he needs to be careful.
What about me?
What about you? Well, I'm not trying to tell you to do what to do with your life, but I'd leave him alone. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I'm going to say that again. Alcoholics and drug addicts are not going to do a darn thing about their problem unless they want to. No matter what we do to try to change people, you cannot change anyone unless the God self inside of them commits to it themselves. So the best thing you can do is leave him alone, give him good vibes, meditate on him, affirm his life, and make positive affirmations on his life and use them and pray for him and just hope the best happens. That's what I would do. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but that's what I would do.
All right. I would like to send for your charts, but a friend just walked in. Could she talk to you for one moment? She's in tears.
Why is she in tears?
Well, hold on.
Wait a minute. Hello?
My birthday is July 17th, 1933.
Why are you crying?
Because I got a big decision to make in my life.
About?
The IRS closed me up, and now someone wants to put me in business, but it's like selling my soul.
The IRS is a wonderful organization. Oh, no, don't say it. Don't say it. But a lot of people are real happy with them. July 13th, 19...
July 17th.
July 17th. Now, this is a business question, right?
Pardon?
This is a business question, right? Well, you have a lot of karma with money in your life, period. There's a lot of karma there with money, period. Was last year a good year overall? Did you get away with anything at all?
No. I almost had a nervous breakdown when they closed me up.
I don't know. It's a real touchy question because you have a chart on fire right now, and you may be trying to do everything too much and too hard. You could be way too obsessed with everything. You could be way too materialistic. You might have forgot about your spirit side, and your karma could be running hot. Good luck to you. I don't know if I can help you out myself. Bill's a Leo with Libra rising like me. Yo, Bill.
Hi, Farley.
You're like my brother.
It always amazes me. Every time I get a chance to listen to your program, it always hits right on target.
All right.
My chart, you can see all the planets that I have in the 10th house, and then I have four of them that are squared by Saturn. So what I was wondering is...
Why am I laughing?
Ever since my Saturn return, I've been going through such struggles with career, and I was wondering what's going on with me now because I'm in another career situation where I really don't know which way to turn.
Why do you choose to work for people?
I really don't know how to set myself up in my own business. There's really nothing that I know I can do that I can...
Are you afraid to assume responsibility?
Not really. Whenever I get into a situation where I need to, I just... automatically can do it.
Isn't your mind just flooded with brilliant ideas and creative ideas and projects and marketing concepts?
Not really.
Too bad about that, Bill. Don't you have an intuitive power with your Pisces moon?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I saw the last end of my job coming up in advance. I knew it was going to happen, and I really didn't do much to prevent it. I tried to get out of the situation gracefully, but I couldn't. And about a month before it, I kind of knew that I was going to be let go.
I've known people born with your chart around your time of year. In fact, I almost married a girl born on the same day you were born, same year. And it's like having so much potential, but for some reason, karmically, it's strangled. It's like being just within reach, but you can't reach it. You know what I mean? It's like putting your arm through a barbed wire fence, and you can almost reach the key, but you get real close, but you never really get it. It's pretty frustrating.
That's what I've been feeling as a frustration.
If I had your chart, then what I would do is make a business, somehow make a business, or be an astrologer. That, to me, is probably the only way out, the only other choice during the Pluto transit, when it goes over your Saturn and squares the dickens out of all your Leo planets, is heavy karma setback and retrofire on you for the next 4 or 5 years. So if you don't start your own business or become a New Age counselor, then you're just going to have to adhere to some of this karmic authority and supervisory crap that's going to be laid down on you. And you'll go from one job to another, my opinion.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right. Thanks, Farley.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Beth on line 5, Libra Aries rising. Hi, Beth.
Hello, Farley.
How are you, sweet pie?
Fine. How are you?
Superior.
I have a question about love relationships.
All right.
And right now, I don't know if it's a waterfall or a river.
Well, are you heterosexual?
Yes.
Are you having problems keeping him right now?
Not particularly, no.
Do you have one special?
Yes, I do.
Is it a major roller coaster like at Magic Mountain?
Well, it's just a long-distance relationship.
Oh, wow, that is really frustrating.
Yes, it is.
You know, Uranus and Saturn have both been square your Mars. That can play havoc with your temperament and irritability and nervousness and worry and just deprivation.
Uh-huh.
And frankly, it's a very karmic time for relations with men.
Oh.
So I can't say that this long-distance relationship is going to turn into anything. But if I was you, knowing these aspects, I think I would create some options with more of close-distance relationships. You mean you're in a commitment with someone that lives far away?
Well, yeah.
It's a commitment.
Pardon?
You're in a commitment. You can't date or get involved with any...
No, it's not that deep of a commitment, but it...
Do you know what GU means?
GU?
Yeah. I'm going to say GAU. Geographically and astrologically undesirable. I don't know. I don't want to mislead you, but the truth of the matter is that when you have Uranus square Mars for a whole year like this, if you're expecting something out of this long-distance relationship, the karma here could be extreme disappointment.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so just be careful, okay?
Okay, Farley.
Thank you. Bye. Let's go to Maya on line number 1, Cancer, Taurus rising. Hello.
Hi. My question was, I wondered what perhaps my karmic lesson is in this lifetime.
What house is your Saturn in?
I believe it's Saturn is in the 9th house.
So your major lesson in life is associated with philosophy, freedom, overall happiness, optimism, and confidence, and all of the above connected with success and career factors.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And everybody, we'll see you real soon. Weekdays on KFOX 93.5 FM at 12 noon. Have a nice day.